I'm amazed and blessed that you are all back here so in such punctual fashion. You've done well. And your numbers are swelling, actually. I don't know where you're all coming from, but we're here talking about transformation and some things I think that are stirring our hearts in many deep ways. Let me say this. I shared this morning earlier, this is my first time on New Zealand soil. I've been out and about in many places connecting with leaders, connecting with intercessors in the body about these subjects, but have not yet been to your nation. I've been out to Australia probably 10 times at this point of the journey. I am a practitioner. I love talking theology. I love talking theory. But if you want a handle on who I am in the trench, and I want to really give myself, put my hand on the plow, in places that have potential to move toward breakthrough and prayerfully toward a posture of transformation. And so George and I, just a few moments ago over lunch, we are spiritually acclimatizing ourselves to your context. In other words, we're settling in and discerning and sensing and trying to get an accurate read on what's happening in Auckland, what's happening in your nation. And for that reason, we are going to be fluid. We're going to be open. We want to be flexible and listening as carefully as we can to what the Holy Spirit is saying. We are not here just to unpack our own thoughts or to unpack what we have to say. Please understand that. We are doing our best, as we are here virtually every session in these two very short days, to lean toward the Lord. To lean into God, as it were, put our ear on His chest and hear His heartbeat and hear what He would have to say to you that is relevant. I myself would say yay, amen to what I think George said this morning, is that I am bone weary of conferences and, you know, words. The kingdom of God is not about words, Paul says, but it is about power. And so we are at a point in our journey where we deeply need a manifestation of His power to carry us forward, to meet us where we are. We are called to be faithful men and women, faithful stewards, whether we're pastors, whether we are key influencers, whatever your calling, whatever your vocation, we are called to be faithful in what we're about. But friends, just that faithfulness alone is not going to bring us into these places of transformation. It requires the opening of the heavens. It requires the release of God's favor and an outpouring of His Spirit, you know this, that sends us forward. So the picture for me, this is one that I didn't give you. It's quite simple and straightforward. And I'll share a little bit more about this probably tomorrow. And these are very, very familiar characters to you. But Ezra and Nehemiah, Ezra being the model of priest-intercessor, and both functioning as a priest, ministering the word of the Lord faithfully, and obviously being the one that rediscovered the word and brought it back and stirred a sense of fervency and zeal in the hearts of the people. So here's the foundation of prayer and incarnational witness. Nehemiah, a type, a model, I believe, of an apostolic builder, a leader that saw what needed to be done and took initiative, but was a man totally sensitive to the initiatives of the Holy Spirit. And you read it, as you read through the book of Nehemiah, this was a man who did everything in response to prayer. And so an apostolic builder, a bold builder that restored the perimeter, the wall around the rebuilt temple. And so these kinds of ministries, the priest-intercessor role, the apostolic leadership role, these we are to faithfully execute as best we know how. And moving in the gifting, moving in the mantling that the Lord would impart. But if there is not a breath from heaven, this will be only minimally effective. And yes, it will bring advancement of the kingdom. It will bring church growth. There will be seasons of accelerated growth and activity, but it will not approximate the kind of transformation that George, Alistair, and I are referring to and talking about. So I suggest that we are about both about being faithfully committed to our callings and also continually praying for increased appetite, increased desire, not only in our hearts, but the hearts of colleagues and other leaders, to be about those things that basically send out a beacon signal into the heavenlies that let God know that we want more and that we're ready for more and asking Him for more. So with that, I want to return and just look at this snapshot again briefly. I think you have it in hand, all of you, by this point. Make just a couple of observations, and I want to talk a little bit about leadership and how that begins to emerge, what that begins to look like, how it functions in a city environment. Now, George was talking about this matter of beachhead. This is a beachhead region, probably from 1 to 3 and up to about 5, where there are signs of life, good things happening. It could be united prayer. It could be pastors coming together to pray. It could be citywide events and gatherings that begin to happen. And I would suggest that many of you might be experiencing these kinds of signs of life. Let me just see a show of hands. How many would immediately identify and say, we're just out of the blocks at best? We're just beginning to, you know, we've just heard the starting gun. Let me see your hands again so I can get a read. A fair number of you who would immediately identify and say, yeah, I am the lonely pastor, you know, whose heart is beating and breaking to see something new happen, who is believing the Lord to break the status quo and do something new and different. Amen? That might be you as an intercessor, you or one or two or three others, a little outpost crying out desperately that something changes. So already we're seeing that there are a number of you that are just beginning to hear what the Spirit is saying. You're beginning to move forward. Now, how many would say right away that there are some good, clear things going, that there are some buds springing up out of the earth? There are signs of life. The Lord is speaking about something new. How many would say that that's probably where you are? All right. Not a lot, but you're moving. Now, let me ask this. Would there be any here in this room that would identify that you are at a point where there is an established leadership of the city church, the emerging city church, the identity of the body of Christ in your town or your city, and alongside those leaders there is an intercessory component, the watchmen or the watchwomen on the wall, that are intentionally praying toward this kind of a vision? Let me just get a read. All right, now just call out some cities for me, would you? Where's that? Okay. Yes?
Masterson?
Right? Yeah, down here? Okay. John? All right. So West Auckland, there is something like this emerging. Some clear signs of leadership coming to the fore. And I think there was one over here.
Richmond?
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, where's Palmerston? I think you shared that this is beginning to happen in Palmerston, correct? Okay. So, some good signs of forward momentum bringing you to this point, but most of you would be back probably in these areas. Let me address this very concretely. Looking at these three distinct phases, some concrete suggestions. If you're 0 to 1 on the scale, what do you do? Where can you go? There is a catalytic core crying out. You pull the embers together. I use a little imagery here. With who you are, where you are, you identify a colleague. Friends, it may be as minimal as that. It may be another pastor that you can sit down with and open your heart to that colleague. It may be you as an intercessor finding the other embers, those that burn and yearn with a similar desire, and pull them together and just simply begin praying and building a catalytic core. It is also about taking initiative to plant seeds, to intentionally plant seeds, either through your own heart sharing or videos, books, perhaps audio tapes, videotapes from this particular conference. Obviously, in May, you will be able to have in your hands, or somewhere by June, the Transformations 2 video. Transformations 1 is already there. You know, we have found time and time again, but by simply sitting down with a group of individuals and showing that video, perhaps even a segment of it, the introductory part of it, plus Kali, or forwarding right straight through to the giant carrots. I mean, you choose where you want to go with this. But with both believers and even some non-believing individuals, because of the release of the glory of God through what He has already done, there's a building of hope and faith. So you choose whatever seeds you want to use, and by way of video or books, stir others to see and to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Often I do intentional vision casting. And it might be that there are some leaders in your nation already that are already far down the road with this, and they've been living and breathing city transformation. And you need someone to come into your city from outside to say the kinds of things that we're saying in this conference that is validating. You know, there is a bit of the prophet and Nazareth syndrome, that if it's just you, that's the problem. It's just you, perceived as being fanatic or fired up. And, after a while, that just gets kind of same old, same old. And you're respected, but you're not received. And so I find often there will be some that invite me in for 2 hours just to share some of these things. And it is virtually like coming into whether it's a small village or a large city, and just lighting a torch, just stretching out a torch and speaking what the Holy Spirit is saying, and there are points of ignition, okay, in the hearts of leaders and intercessors. An example, in August, I was in Australia for a prayer summit in Wollongong, the Illawarra region outside of Sydney, and also for a summit for Melbourne. And Gavin Williams in Regent's Park, which is the southwest area of Sydney, prevailed upon me to do an extra lunch. He said, look, would you just patch in an hour and a half? Apologetically, Gavin said to me, he said, well, we'll probably draw 8, maybe 10. So his wife prepared some soup, some lovely sandwiches, and here we are waiting, and there is a steady stream of individuals, many of whom Gavin had not even known about, 26 men and women. Suddenly we're sitting, they were, creating more sandwiches on the spot. Gavin was absolutely ecstatic because people were coming out of the woodwork. Now, I simply stood before them as I am before you and sharing some of these same kinds of things. This is what we believe and perceive the Holy Spirit to be doing in our day. After an hour and 10 minutes, and I very carefully was watching this occur, an hour and 10 minutes, these 26 men and women were so convinced that this was not just another voice of a man, this was not the latest wave or the latest fad, but that the Spirit of Christ was revealing to them what they needed to do. They were around tables, word crafting together a covenant by which they were going to agree to walk together to be the Church of Regent's Park. I have never, in any of my little vision casting luncheons, seen the seed of the word of the Lord settle into fertile soil so quickly. They have met since August every Wednesday morning in McDonald's for coffee. I'm going back again in May for the Adelaide Prayer Summit. Gavin buttonholed me again and said, would you give us 2 days with the leaders? And he says, I will guarantee there will be at least 30, probably 40 leaders from Regent's Park. I said, absolutely, I'm there. And so sometimes it takes someone moving in these things who's already well-versed with what the Spirit is saying to come into your town and connect at a level of credibility, okay, with some of your other leaders. A book that is very valuable, Jack Dennison's book, it's on the table, on city reaching and city transformation, as well as the transformations video itself. some simple things, some immediate things you can do if you're at that desperate point of 0 to 1 or 2 and wondering how to get out of the blocks. Now, the second area, say at point 3 on the spectrum, a handful of pastors and intercessors, but you're struggling to get started. Let me share that there's an enormous amount of fear and resistance that rises particularly in the hearts of pastors. This might feel like another ecumenical movement. Okay, it might be perceived as the next thing, the next methodology. There's a lot of denominational constraint. There is the large plate, too much to do syndrome. There is just already enough to do just to bring health and vitality to my local church. You have to somehow connect with the mind and the world of your colleagues, particularly you as pastors, that this is just not an option. We are talking about a clear biblical revelation of the heart of the Lord, that we walk together in covenant, that we are bold to believe that there can be concrete answers to the priestly prayer of Jesus, and that Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 is not just a stirring sermon on the oneness of the body of Christ. It is to be a reality within a city environment. What I'm saying here is that it really takes some time. It takes some relationship with other leaders to challenge them along the lines of biblical realities. And there's a pastor in our movement who's been very honest. He's got a large, growing, vital church. And he said, look, I don't have time for this. But the Lord will not allow me not to be a part of this, because it's what he's about. It's what he's doing. Now, some very concrete suggestions if you're in that range, the category number 3, that would be a beachhead area. Define your perimeter. This is important. Don't think too broadly in terms of geography. You know, so if you're trying to reach all of Auckland, you're going to be swimming in it. It is wiser to focus in, I believe, and draw a perimeter around a municipality. There might be a geographical definition of your area, your region. And you settle into that place, draw a perimeter around it, and you discern and discover who else is in that territory and say, Lord, if it is only here, and if we cry out to you on behalf of this place and this ground, that's where we begin. Because you know as well as I that if something does emerge and break forth, it quickly spreads. Define the perimeter. Secondly, consolidate your core. And that simply means pulling the embers together, praying more frequently and more fervently. And I agree with George, and I've done this in a number of places to great effect. The best way you can instruct people to pray is there would be an increased hunger in the hearts of the leaders, in the hearts of other praying people within that place. Directly call your colleagues to a compelling biblical vision. Pray like crazy. Pray unceasingly. And this, I feel, is most important. If you're in that place where there's a beachhead and there are things happening, build relationships. Connect at a heart level. Go out to lunch. You know, the most effective thing we did, I live in Corvallis. We came to a place where our leadership team was well in place. There is a leadership team of the City Church of Corvallis. It's lovely. We've got letterhead. When events happen, you know, the communications go out from the city leadership team. And yet we discerned, I think accurately, that there were a whole number of pastors on the fence, rather distant from what we were about, skeptical, not yet involved. Very simple thing that we did, and we had already defined our vision path, which is a definition of our mission, our vision, and just the goals that we have as a movement. So we determined that 2 of us from the leadership team would individually visit these pastors that we identified were kind of disinterested. Any of you know any disinterested pastors who have a full plate, who have a healthy church, but don't have the time. I said, look, this is not for me. And so we went with them, two of us, and scheduled an appointment for an hour, sat in their office, connected with their world, and first drew them out and said, look, we care about you. We're praying for you personally, praying for your church. How can we continue to pray for you? And then, by the way, if you got any questions about what we're doing in terms of a city reaching vision, the most productive thing we've ever done. Why? Because we took the time, we took the effort to connect, to communicate, and actually went into their offices and connected. I believe, as I shared earlier this morning, that some kind of an annual prayer summit gathering, you could call it a retreat. Really, the terminology doesn't matter a whole lot. The model I'm used to is a full 3-night, 4-day model, because there's time to actually get into one another's lives in a deep way. That creates glue. It creates the cement of agape love that we're finding in our city lasts year after year after year. It is sustainable. So other cities are going for 2 days, some for 3, but the point I want to make here is there's got to be a context in which you can build those kinds of relationships. And another point of explanation for pastors that might be hesitant, and I think this is accurate, to explain, you cannot afford not to get involved. Because if you will sign on to what the Holy Spirit is doing, there will be a blessing that will double back onto your church. And we've seen this happen time and time again. Now, let me just talk about this little area here in the middle, where there's the emerging of some leadership teams, because some of you are clearly in that category. You've responded to it. Now, let me share maybe about 4 things that relate specifically to pastors and intercessors working together and walking together. And we looked at this earlier, that these are the gatekeeping leaders, pastors, city influencers. And there is the emergence of city intercessors. We could call them the watchmen, the watchwomen. This emerges out of Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. You know that text. I have appointed, says the Lord, watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem. Okay? They will take no rest and give me no rest until I, the Lord, establish Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Very unusual calling. The Lord gives to some of you, and some of you are here today, probably a vast majority of you sitting here, He says to you, I have given you permission to pester me, to pursue me day and night. And what is the focus? It is geographic. It is related to the manifestation of His glory in the city of Jerusalem. So you slip the name of your town or your city in that portion, those of you who are here as intercessors and prayer warriors. I believe in this hour, God is intentionally weaving together the callings of pastors and the watchmen. And this book by Eddie and Alice Smith that I referred to is very, very practical, sometimes humorous stuff. You'll find Eddie has a very unusual sense of humor. And here's some of the issue. As leaders, as pastors and as intercessors, our DNA is vastly different. You are wired differently. Spiritual things come to you, come through your filter in vastly different ways. And what this does is create a lot of tension, conflict, misunderstanding. So I find I'm sitting with pastors in prayer summit environments who, frankly, would say something like this. And I don't want to offend anyone, but this is the way it is. These loopy intercessors just come at me with words and visions and these impulses, these impressions. And they're being very open and honest to say, I don't know what to do with these. I don't know how to process them. And so, but you on the other side, you who get these things and hear from the Lord as you're leaning into Him, feel enormously frustrated, do you not? often unappreciated. Let me use another word, disenfranchised, where you don't feel like you're connecting, you don't even feel validated, you don't feel like you fit in the local church environment or maybe the city environment. And it is not only about different DNA wiring, it is often like being in two different galaxies altogether. And there is friction, and this takes an honest talking and walking out to really understand one another's heartbeats, because it is a part, I think, of this season that we're in. There is a kingdom ordering where it is on the Lord's heart, men and women, to bring us together, that we can walk together in a city environment and actually pray effectually and pray fruitfully together in these two callings. So this is much of what I do in city environments, in and out of many of them, where are these the two emerging leadership groups of pastors and also intercessors. And in Adelaide, Rod Denton, as I mentioned, walks with Jenny Hager. And as we've been together the last 6 years, there have been many points where it is like the information, the understanding of what the Lord is doing comes through Rod in a very practical sense, a managerial sense as a pastor. In other words, how is this going to work? How is this going to come through and settle into the hearts of people that sit in my pews every Sunday? Whereas intercessors are moving by way of a prophetic, forward-looking momentum. And it just takes, I think, some very honest, open discussion. Over lunch, I learned a new word about having a hui. Right? Is that a Maori term? And it may be that this is really where the Lord is bringing you and bringing us as a church, is that we need to hui together, okay, as leaders and prayer warriors, to hear correctly what the Lord is saying to us. That's one problem. A second problem is there are often syndromes that exist really in the lives of leaders particularly and prayer warriors. And intercessors have a tendency to see the cup always half empty. It's never enough. We're not getting it. We're not moving with it. It's not moving fast enough, far enough. A pastor, frankly, is wanting or hoping to see a cup being half full. And I've heard it many, many times where a pastor will say, well, look what we are doing. And yet an intercessor will be seeing out ahead in terms of where they see or sense we need to be moving, and they'll say, but look at where we aren't and where we need to be. And so it is, again, trying to communicate together and deal with some of these issues and these syndromes. There is, I think, a need for intercessors to intentionally renounce pride and judgmentalism and to open-heartedly ask the Lord for a spirit of patience, to say, Lord, you temper me. You harness me. Help me to know what to do with what I'm hearing and receiving from you. I think you as intercessors need to lay down this all or nothing demand and say, Lord, this is you. I believe this is what you're saying, what you're revealing in prayer. But Lord, it is only you and your timing that can make this productive. Thirdly, there are tripwires. There are things that trigger reactions between these two different callings. You know, on a landmine, there are these little wires, or sometimes they're connected, a very, very thin, invisible wire. And as we work and walk around one another, we set one another off. And the reality is most pastors are of the male gender. It's a clear observation. And this is generally universally true. Most of you as intercessors are women. And there is this whole host of subterranean, unresolved, emotional, psychological stuff that relates to gender pain. And we as men don't get it. I mean, we are not sensitive to the fact that there have been points in our Adamic nature, okay, in our male humanity, where we have not been sensitive. We have been defensive. We have put you off, whether it's our wives, whether it's our children. And so there are sometimes projections that we will make in the flow of leadership that either inadvertently wound, or sometimes, frankly, intentionally wound. Because it is often about control or manipulation. And there are some of you sitting here today who have felt judged. You have felt underappreciated. And some of you that are carrying your own unresolved stuff at a deep level. Friends, this that I'm talking on and touching on right now is a lot of the reality of what we need to work through and walk through in dealing with those things, those issues internally within us, to come to a place of healing where our hearts are sanctified and cleansed, so that we don't trigger one another off. A fourth and final area at this level, where there are actual leadership teams that are emerging, pastors and intercessors have to discern together the spiritual roots that are below the surface that will hinder the favor of the Father from falling on your towns and on your cities. Are you hearing me? And this relates to what George is going to bring you by way of the necessity of spiritual mapping. Why? Why do we need this insight? Why do we have to dig down? Why do we have to get a spiritual historical timeline? It is so that together, as leaders and as intercessors, we can bring these things before the Lord and break them. You'll hear, I think, George and Alistair talk about altars of offense. And these are offenses. These are things that occur. It could be a human injustice. It could be breaking of a treaty. It could be shedding of blood. It could be the practice of idolatry and immorality that has gone on in a place where there has been the invitation of darkness. And at that point, the Lord backs away. And so, very simply stated, here's the question: how do we invite the Lord to return and come near? So down the bottom of page 3, if you'd go back to the outline I was looking at this morning, one final thought. And this is the outline on building leadership in a city environment for sustained transformation. And this really just rises in my heart by way of a deep conviction. See the bold italicized print? Page number 3 down at the bottom. I just want you to track with me and focus in on this. We can form all the leadership teams we like. We can set lofty goals, produce inspired outlines, hold meetings, and host reputable leaders, most of which we're doing here today. We cannot produce transformation. We must therefore faithfully do those things that attract the presence and favor of the Almighty and go on praying and obeying. Top of page 4, the hand of God must do the imprinting and impacting, not our fleshly fingerprints. We must engage ourselves in living in humility and authenticity, planning well, casting vision, setting noble goals, and then asking and believing God Himself to breathe on our brokenness. Just a few final thoughts following through. If you see point C, identifying and troubleshooting some obstacles to transformation. George has a list. He may share some of these with you. But I just feel as I close, it's I think helpful to bring some of these to light. What would block, what would hinder you from moving forward toward breakthrough? Point A on the outline is a lack of prophetic vision and apostolic leadership. And it may be that there's a lot of desire, and maybe there are a lot of these kinds of activities going on in the spiritual beachhead dimension. But I want to suggest to you, at some point, it requires the raising up of men and women in leadership that are bold to lead. And it may not be a single individual. In some environments today, this is about a group or a team of individuals that are hearing and rising and moving forward. But this can be an obstacle, is the lack of this kind of leadership. Point B, insufficient desperation. There is rising desire in the West, Western culture, but there is insufficient desperation. Overindulgence in tactics. And I've recently been in and out of three cities, one of them moderately sized, two very large, that threw themselves into tactical endeavors. Spent a lot of money and a lot of energy, considerable amount of time. They have spent their vision change. And they are physically and spiritually spent and exhausted. When you get the cart of tactics before a heavenly vision, and you spend all of your energy on those tactics, sometimes you are 3 to 5 years recovering from it. So just a word of caution. Get the vision before the implementation of tactics. Point F, just a couple more. There is an endless, I don't know if potpourri works here or not, to connect. Smorgasbord, availability of outside personalities and streams. And this is big. I would say to you that we ourselves, even in coming, are outside personalities. We are outside streams. We're coming from outside your city, outside your land. And I just want to make one statement here, is that as you, whether it's Auckland, whether it's Palmerston, whatever you represent, as you are discovering together what the Lord is saying to you, as leaders are arising in your midst, if someone comes in, if someone speaks into your city or speaks into your movement, make sure that they are serving you and connecting with your context and connecting with your issues rather than you as a city serving those personalities or those streams. Now, I was at a think tank in Houston some 8 weeks ago. This was one of the three uppermost issues in the hearts of the city-reaching leaders in that room. Was discerning how to manage all of the words and all of the methodologies and all of the stuff that's going on in the body of Christ today. So that's why I say to you, wherever you are, whether you're at zero or whether you're at five going towards seven on that spectrum, or in George's terminology, whether you are accelerating out of beachhead toward breakthrough, whatever you bring in, you discern whether that is going to serve you and help you move forward. And finally, H on the bottom of that list, racial, ethnic, gender, generational distrust, a huge obstacle. And just listening over lunch to what is currently happening in Auckland, this is in your category. This is in your lap, the cultural complexity of the city. And it is worth the time. It is worth the time taken to sensitively get inside the heart and get inside the world, so to speak, of those of different ethnic streams around us, and to walk together. Now, I will be honest, sometimes if the Holy Spirit is accelerating this, there is an appropriate time to move and go as you need to go. And, you know, there will be those that are hesitant. There will be those on the sidelines or those doing their own thing. Let's be very honest. There will be those for a season who do their own thing. And there are points at which it's appropriate to go. But this requires huge amounts of prayer, intercession, sensitivity, and what I would describe as spiritual diplomacy. Spiritual diplomacy. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord himself watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Now, I want to pray in a very specific way in transition. And as George is listening, just allow him to come and patch in. We've got another 45 minutes up till 3 o'clock. Father, these hours we have together are going to race by. And yet you are the one who maximizes our moments. And as this Psalm 127 has really caught my eye here in this moment, with your people of this marvelous land of New Zealand, God, I would ask that you would be the one who's building this house. This is your work to do. And I would be bold in asking, Father, that you would give a divine impartation of your presence and of your power to bring clear revelation as to what is next for these brothers and sisters that represent the towns, the cities, the regional areas of this nation. Father, we are bold to ask that you will be raising up leaders, that you will be leading, Lord, in the areas of reconciliation with ethnic and racial streams represented in New Zealand. God, we ask that somewhere, some place, in some city, that flowing out of this time together, that there, Lord, would be a beachhead that begins to move very decidedly toward breakthrough. A place where your vision and your holy fire breaks in and breaks through. Lord, we don't want to just come here and consult together. We are bold to believe in Jesus' name, God, that you are going to bring forth an expression of your kingdom, never seen of, never heard of before, because we have asked you. We agree on this in Jesus' name. Amen.